रामाय रामभद्राय रामचंद्राय वेदसे रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीताय पतये नमः. सुंदरकांड चैप्टर नंबर 14 द अशोक ग्रोव. द रेसिटेशन बिगिंस नाउ. Having taken counsel with himself for a brief space, he prepared to enter the grove, and Maruti of bright effulgence lightly leaped over his lofty walls. And as he gazed beyond from his lofty perch, his whole body was filled with inexplicable thrills of joy. He beheld the mango, the champaka, the ashoka, the shala, and other lordly trees of the forests in the first bloom of spring. Next, like a sharp arrow shot from a mighty bow, he dived into the depths of the woods of mango and the numerous creepers that hid them from view. The sweet sounds of cuckoos, peacocks, bees, and many other birds fell soft and pleasant upon his ears. Herds of deer and other beasts roamed fearlessly through it. Many a rare tree in flower and fruit shone like the morning sun, as if they were fashioned of gold and silver. In its wonderful and strange glades, there sported many a creature in utter fearlessness and delight. As Maruti passed on, intent upon his quest for Janaki of matchless beauty and excellence of heart, he rudely awoke the birds sleeping peacefully. They rose in a fright all around and, flapping their wings against the trees, dropped showers of many-colored flowers. And Hanuman, covered as it were with them, looked like a mountain of leaves, buds, and flowers. It was no wonder that the denizens of wood took him for the god of spring as Anjaneya darted here and there through the thick groves. The ground, adorned with a cloud of flowers from the trees, appeared like a lovely maiden in the pride of her dress and ornaments. The trees themselves rained strange flowers all around, as they were lost to and fro by the speed of Maruti's rapid flight through them. They stood there, bare of leaf, flower, and fruit, and unpleasant to the eye, even like the ill-shared gamblers who have struck upon a streak of ill luck and were made to divest themselves of their garments and jewels by their successful partners. They looked as if they were caught in the center of a fierce storm and afforded but scant refuge, deprived of fruits, flowers, leaves, and birds. In short, the grove of Ashokas presented a sorry appearance, trampled by the arms, feet, and the tail of Hanuman, all out of recognition. It looked like a proud lady in the flush of her youth and beauty, who came out of a long dalliance with her lover, her hair all disheveled, her charming and intricate decorations of sandal and other perfumes on her forehead, arms and bodies all blotted out of shape, her ruby lips now on a level with her teeth of ivory whiteness through the burning kisses of her beloved, and with the marks of nails and teeth scattered all over her body. That mighty monkey tore to pieces the thick, huge creepers around the trees, even like his father, the Lord Vayu, scatters before him the thick cloud banks of winter. Maruti, in his search through the ground, came upon many a floor inlaid with gold, silver, and gems. Many a tank was to be found there, fashioned in strange shapes. The steps thereof shone with precious stones. The floor was crystal. The sand on the bed thereof was powdered pearl, coral, and many a priceless material. Sweet water, limpid and cool like the amrita, lapped its brim. The lotus, lily, and many a flower hid the water from view in their bloom. And upon these many a waterfowl cooed pleasantly. Streams and streamlets, rivers and rivulets emptied themselves into it from all sides. The banks were covered with thickets and fangled underwood, and rare species of santana, kalpaka, harichandana, and other heavenly trees. A little beyond, he saw an artificial hill of earth very pleasantly laid out. Black like a rain cloud, with lofty heights and strange peaks with rocky chambers, it was hid beneath trees of wonderful variety. a torrent rushed down its slopes, even like unto a girl suddenly offended with her lover and springing away from his knees. And as if to continue the fancy, the trees of fertile luxuriance lived on its banks with their leafy heads merged in its waters, even like the same willful maiden restrained in her angry course by her kin and mates. And as if to complete the comparison, they made the current flow back, barred by a thick barricade of trees, even like the selfsame lady returning to her lover after a short-lived spell of anchor. Within a stone's throw of it, there were pools of lotus, haunted by birds of rare and varied plumage. And they were interspersed with long sheets of water, cool, clear, and clement, pleasantly lapping its banks, with steps leading down into it of rare mosaics of gems and the bed of powdered pearl. And on either side thereof were curiously fashioned pavilions from which there met the eye groves, woods, and glades of wonderful variety, heaving with birds and beasts, all from the hand of Vishwakarma, the architect of the heavenly world. All round, some large monarchs of the forests, bending low under the graceful burden of fruits and flowers, were laid out broad platforms. And upon them were built smaller platforms of gold and canopied with lofty roofings to ward off sun and rain. And there Marathi beheld a towering Shimshupa tree entirely hid from view by leaf and creeper. It dazzled the eye from afar by its golden brilliance and platforms of beaten gold that shone with fiery radiance. Verily, exclaimed Marathi, the blinding light from these trees has turned my body into rare gold, even as if the sun takes on the columns of the golden mountain Meru. And on that lofty Shimshupa tree, towering over other grand specimens, there were hung myriads of small bells, most sweetly chiming in the gentle breeze now and then. Hanuman got up that tree and seated in the depths of leaf, flower, shoot, and bud, and said to himself, I might from here behold, if it is given to me, the lady Janaki ever yearning in her heart for a sight of her beloved. Might not my good star direct her feet there, had she roamed here and there, a stranger to sleep, through the heavy grief that weighs her down? Her soul must delight in ranging through this Ashoka grove, rich with champaka, chandana, and other rare trees. Now the birds make pleasant music over this lotus pool, and the lady Sita never has enough of spending her time in joy among these woods. It is not unlikely that she may come over here, worn and dispirited from her overlong separation from Raghava, to seek respite from her trouble. Further, her heart goes out with tenderness towards the creatures that roam through these woods. Years she has been a ranger of the forests. In the prime of youth and beauty, she would, of a truth, bend her steps here to escape the unsympathetic and irritating crowd of her jailers and dream her hours away in the sweet meditation on Raghava, or to silently recall the happy old days when she dwelt in the dark depths of Dandaka in the company of Rama and Lakshmana, or to offer her prayers to the deity of the morning twilight in this rivulet of clear, cool waters. Verily, this wood is such a one as she would like to wander through, and she is most fitting ornament to this rich scenery. If she is anywhere among the living, she would not fail to come down to this watercourse. And Marathi, of matchless intellect, hid himself yet more deeply in the Shimshupa tree, and expectant of the appearance of the Lady Sita from any quarter, he gazed silently all around. Mangalam Koshalendraya Mahaniya Gunate Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhaumaya Mangalam.